Hi, everybody. Dennis Prager here. As you know, we talk about everything in life on this program. We'll take a break from the news and talk to one of the brightest minds with regard to family life and especially raising children in America. And as a result of his being so insightful, I'm going to ask him this. I wonder how many allies he has in the field of psychology. And he's been on the show a number of times. He has a Prager University video out, How to Get Kids to Listen. Got 1.5 million views in 4 days. John Rosemond is a renowned family psychologist. And John, welcome back to the Dennis Prager Show.
Well, it's a pleasure to be back, Dennis. Thank you so much for the invitation.
Well, I want to ask you the question that I said I would. How many, I'll put it this way. Obviously, there's no scientific answer, right? Everyone understands that. Just an intelligent estimate, what percentage of psychologists would agree with you in overall in your way of raising children?
Oh, less than 1%.
Wow, I thought you would say 5.
Well, I would like to say 5.
Oh my God.
There's no indication that the field of psychology is coming around at all to what I would consider a sensible point of view concerning children and their upbringing. So I, unfortunately, with reluctance, no hubris whatsoever, say less than 1%.
All right, I want to go further then in this line of questioning. In the 1940s, and you would not know this from your life, but knowing to any extent the history of the U.S. and of your field and the attitudes towards raising children, in the 1940s, how many psychologists do you think would have agreed with you?
Well, probably 80 to 90% back then. And that's just a guesstimate.
I understand that. So when did this is amazing, from 80 to 90% to less than 1% in, let's say, from 1950, so that's in 65 years. When did the great break take place?
Took place in 1965 with the publication of a book by a Manhattan psychologist named Chaim Gnat. And it was Gnat that set what I sometimes refer to as socialist egalitarian parenting in motion.
Was that a term that he would use?
No, he would call it proper parenting.
Right. Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Boy, you know, I thought you were going to say Dr. Spock, Benjamin Spock.
You know, Spock, Dennis, was pretty much of a traditionalist. If you go back and read, at least in the beginning, if you go back and read his the first edition of the Common Sense Book of Baby and Child Care, in the first place, he's really not writing a parenting book as we would conceive of it today. He's talking more about pediatric issues like how to take your child's temperature and tell the difference between roseola and the measles and whether to breastfeed or bottle feed and so on and so forth. I went through the entire pocketbook edition that my mother bought when I was born and bequeathed to me eventually upon the birth of our first child, in fact. And I noted the number of paragraphs that he devoted to behavioral issues, disciplinary issues. In a 300-page book, it was 13 pages. And in that 13 pages, Spock really reflected pretty much the attitude of the times. He was not a radical by any means. He's not deserving of a reputation along those lines. Now, during the Vietnam War, he did become radicalized, and because of his association with political radicals, I think was influenced to move to the, what I would call the left in his parenting advice. So in the late 60s, he got caught up in the permissive, nouveau, egalitarian, touchy-feely parenting movement that was emerging at that time.
Well, how do you spell Ginot's name?
G-I-N-O-T-T, I believe. H-A-I-M, Chaim, as you
yeah,
know.
Right.
Ginot.
Right. G-I-N-O-T-T.
I believe so. I believe it's two T's.
Right.
I would.
It is. You're right. So yeah. He lived. Mm-hmm. So he lived from 1922 to 1973. And so was the book Between Parent and Child? Is that or
yes.
Just this whole series of books? And he was very popular.
Well, his book became a bestseller.
It did.
It was really the first parenting
book
that was a bestseller. And as a consequence of that, publishers began beating the mental health bushes looking for people who would capitalize and expand on that theme.
Fascinating. And the essence of it was this egalitarian, non-authoritarian parent?
Well, Ginot's book was really, it was groundbreaking because it emphasize the need to properly understand, interpret, and respond to a child's feeling state.
I got it. So the difference is, forgive me one second, so for the sake of my listeners, to get a sort of shorthand, so in Pregarian terms, we went from a behaviorist approach to raising children to a therapeutic approach.
Well, we went from a character-based approach to a therapeutic
That's even
approach.
Better.
Yeah,
better.
We
yeah.
went from an approach that was really rooted in biblical understandings. And, for example, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7 is very clear. The instruction is to build character in your children. And what happened was that we made a rather abrupt and radical departure from those understandings and set off down, to use Robert Frost's famous line in his famous poem, we set down the road never traveled. And indeed, it has made all the difference. The mental health of the American child today is statistically 10 times worse than it was in the 1950s and early 1960s. And I keep saying this to my audiences around the country, that look, we've been listening to mental health professionals tell us how to raise children for 52 years, and the mental health of the American child has been in a state of free fall during that time, and it is time for us to get it and understand that these people, as well-intentioned as they might be, have been giving very bad advice. And there is no indication that they're about to start giving good advice. And because psychology, Dennis, is an ideology, and ideologists don't change their position because they're not intellectually honest people. And so this is my message around the country. We know how to raise children properly, or we used to. And what we need to do is understand what those people were doing, understand their attitude more than understand their methods. And we need a retro parenting revolution in this country.
I think that the renowned family psychologist, John Rosemond, doesn't he have another course as well? Yeah, vitamin N. You have two courses up at Prager University. The vitamin N, which I always thought was just a genius phrase. Vitamin N, for those of you who don't know, is the word no. Vitamin N is the word no. It is the most important vitamin your child can, in fact, take in outside of necessary nutrients to live. And it is not done. Your understanding of this stuff, I mean, the latest video, my friends, anyone who is raising a child or anyone who knows anyone who is raising a child should see it, How to Get Kids to Listen. We're going to talk about this. I wanted the evolution of his profession to be laid out before you, which he did. Now the question is, why did the word obedient become a dirty word? You are listening to The Dennis Prager Show. Hi, Dennis Prager here again with a message for anyone struggling with pain. Of course, I want you to know about Relief Factor, the 100% drug-free supplement that tens of thousands are now taking every day. I take it every day. I like being out of pain. But I know you may be skeptical. I certainly was. Then I kept hearing about all the people, including my wife, who were no longer in pain. So I decided to give it a try. In fact, listen to Janice's story.
I was skeptical at first. But because of the pain that I was having when I would substitute teach and have to climb stairs, so I have lower back, hip, and even knee pain. And after about 3 weeks, I found that I could climb stairs pain-free. But it wasn't only pain-free. I could do it step over step without holding on the railing. I'm really happy. It makes me feel like I'm young again.
That's ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384. Yes, indeed. Join AMAC if you're 50 or over. Let's say you're 49. Just think in a year you get to do this. This is exciting. AMAC is the conservative response to AARP. And you receive a 5-year membership for just $59. You get that back, that money, in so many discounts to members, from health insurance to hotels to restaurants, that it's nothing. I mean, a little over $11 a year. So go to AMAC at the banner at my website, or call 888-262-2006. 888-262-2006. AMAC, AMAC. All right, I'm on with John Rosemond, the renowned psychologist who has, I think, brilliant insights into raising children. And let's see. You know what? I have so many questions for you, but I want you to take a couple of calls. This is because I have a very interesting group up here, including people who used Gannat and who liked him. But first I want to get to this psychologist in San Antonio, Texas. Hello, Scott. You're on with Dr. John Rosemond and Dennis Prager. Hi.
Hi. So my question is related to what your guest said about the sort of 1% of psychologists who agree with him. So I'm 45 this year. Psychology is kind of a second career for me. I got my PhD and my license about 7 years ago. But I'm an Orthodox Christian, and I agree with your caller or with your guest on pretty much everything. My colleagues think that I'm crazy. They think that they can't believe that I passed the licensing exam or that I got my PhD or anything else. And I'm so alienated with this group of folks. I'm not even a member of the APA because I just can't stand their politics. I can't, you know, deal with it. My question is, what do we do to create this psychology of character, as he put it? I forget what he said exactly.
Yes, character.
Because, you know, I understand the process. I understand children. I understand their psychology. I get it. But that doesn't change the fact that character is the sort of be the final goal of parenting. So what are the marching orders from Dr. Rosemond for somebody like me?
That's great. Plus you. Thank you. John?
Well, Scott, I just keep on fighting the good fight. I mean, there's no battle plan. I just wake up every day and realize that this is my purpose and God assigned, if you will, and that whatever opportunity to presents itself to help people understand that psychology is not providing us good guidance, in my estimation, not just in parenting, but in any life area, there's no indication whatsoever that the profession of psychology has improved the lot of the American citizen. There's no compelling evidence that therapy of any kind reliably works. You know, I am so far out on the limb, if you will, Dennis and Scott, that I don't, and I am a psychologist. I mean, I'm licensed by the North Carolina Psychology Board. I do not believe that psychology really qualifies as a restricted profession. There are basically no practice standards. Anything goes. As I said before, it's a pseudoscience. It's an ideology that masquerades as a science, and it's really driven more by ideological concerns, if you will, than by research. In fact, clinicians, if they don't like the research, they ignore it. They don't incorporate it. They just ignore it.
Any examples come to mind?
Well, self-esteem research. The self-esteem research was clear as long as 20 to 25 years ago that high self-esteem was associated with social pathologies. And yet the profession of psychology continued to promote it, and promote it as if specifically to our topic, it was the brass ring of child-rearing.
I am proud to say that within a year of the self-esteem movement beginning, I wrote a piece that it was a moral and intellectual fraud. And so it's printed. It's actually printed. And I'm not a psychologist. It doesn't take a psychologist to realize this. In fact, your theory really is it takes a psychologist to believe it.
Exactly, Dennis. Yes.
Yeah.
It takes graduate school indoctrination into that propaganda system to believe it.
Yeah. Let me get a defender of Gannat here so that we hear, so to speak, all sides. Beverly in Minneapolis, you're on with John Rosemond and Dennis Prager. Hi.
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 I have read John Rosemond's book, and I like what he says, but I have also raised my children reading Chaim Gannat, and especially the two women who made practical his work in a book called How to Talk So Kids Will Listen and Listen So Kids Will Talk. I imagine, John Rosemond, you're familiar with that?
Yes, I am. Elaine Farber, I think, or
okay.
Faber, either
okay.
One of the other.
I grew up and was raising my children saying, you know, they would say, I don't need a jacket, you know, I'm not cold. And I would say, yes, you need to wear a jacket, because I said so. And, you know, if they would come home and say they got in trouble, I'd say, well, you know, you probably did something, you know, wrong, which was probably true. But in Chaim Gannat, you know, he would say, listen to the child. And when the kid is discouraged, instead of saying, you know, it's your own fault, which is what I got as a child,
all right, hold on there, because because of time factors. Want to just respond, John?
Yeah, well, you know, what Beverly is talking about is the emphasis on holding children accountable for their behavior. And I don't dispute that Gannat, and in fact all of these nouveau self-appointed experts would have said that. However, when the rubber hit the road, they didn't really mean that. And what I was saying, furthermore, Beverly and Dennis, was that Gannat legitimized the feeling state, the emotional state of the child, and made it, to repeat myself, appear as though good parenting was all about properly understanding and properly responding to the child's feeling state. Which...
All right, hold on there, John, if you would. John Rosemond is my guest on Raising Children and the Obedience Issue. Is it a dirty word? Coming up. My friends, I'm Dennis Prager. Either John Rosemond is right or 99% of psychologists are right. If he's right, virtually every psychologist is wrong. And if they're all right, then I'm wrong for having them on the show. But, I mean, I gotta take responsibility. But I have to. John Rosemond is a renowned family psychologist. Number of videos at Prager University. The latest being how to get kids to listen. And by the way, why don't we just name one of your, well, what book would you like people to be introduced to you with?
Oh, gosh. Parenting by the Book, which is biblically based, primarily what we Christians call Old Testament. The Well-Behaved Child is another one. They're all brilliant, you know, Dennis.
They are all brilliant, as it happens. You know, it is interesting, and I want to get to the obedience issue. When you say biblically based, of course, it turns me on because I think it's the wisest book ever written. But to give people an idea of how powerful the brainwash has been, almost anyone who has attended college, hearing that anything is biblically based, would immediately have not only a negative reaction, but worse, a contemptuous reaction. What a fool to take the Bible as his guideline for raising children. And it's so interesting because they would dismiss a 3,000-year book that has proven its worth and created Western civilization. And in favor of that, the latest study, the word study has now a biblical sound to it, to the secular. So it's just, you don't even have to comment. I'm just saying that as soon as you say biblically based, I know how people are trained to react. But let's get to the latest of your videos and thoughts. It's about how to raise an obedient child, and I read it, of course, when you submitted it, and then of course saw it, and it's phenomenal. And however, I know that it scares people beyond words, alienates people even. The word obedient. How to make an obedient child scares people. Why?
Well, because we have inherited the parenting memes that were dispersed throughout culture in the 1960s. And more than just parenting memes, the cultural memes, one of which was that obedience is a bad thing. What most of your listeners probably, Dennis, don't understand because they weren't there. They weren't old enough, if they were there physically, to really understand what was going on. I'm referring to the 1960s, is that one of the undercurrents of the 1960s involved the demonization of authority. And wherever authority was found, the new radical left began to demonize it. Military authority, political authority, corporate authority.
Police authority.
Police authority. Any form of traditional authority was demonized by the radical left in the 1960s, and we have late 1960s, and we have, in the year 2017, we have inherited this. And we don't realize what we have inherited. But in 1970 and 1971, two parenting books that were extremely influential, Parent Effectiveness Training by psychologist Thomas Gordon and Your Child's Self-Esteem by one of his acolytes, Dorothy Briggs, were published, both of which claimed without any evidence whatsoever, and this is what I mean by an ideology, no evidence whatsoever, claimed that the traditional use of parental authority was psychologically damaging to children. And from this, we now have parents bending over when they speak to their children in pleading sycophantic positions that look like they're one movement away from being down on their knees in front of the king. We have parents pleading with their children. We have parents telling me that they want their children to cooperate. And I say, no, you don't. You want your children to obey. Well, what's the difference, John? Well, cooperate.
All right, hold on. We'll get the difference in a moment. I'm going to take. We got to take a break here. John Rosemond is my guest. These words need to be memorized by parents. To cooperate versus obey. Just remember that. I have John Rosemond on. This show, as you know, talks about everything in life. We do a lot of politics, but we're not 24/7 politics. How to raise your child is a pretty important subject. And I'll tell you something, folks. The politics of this country would be utterly different if we raised children with character first instead of self-esteem first. You want a solution to the political problems of the country? Raise decent children. That's the biggest single solution that we can actually engage in. So in some real sense, it's a very political hour. You're talking about the difference, John Rosemond, again, family psychologist. You're talking about the difference between cooperate and obey. The language is so important, and the language here is so important. Parents want their kids to cooperate. In the video, you have a very powerful idea that you mentioned earlier as well, and that is parents bending down to their kid to talk to them. And what does that symbolize?
It symbolizes that the relationship is one of equals. And this is part and parcel of the new parenting movement that arose in the late 1960s, that that the parent and the child were equal, the family should be democratic from as early as the age of two, when the child began to speak. The child should be included in family discussions, and his voice should be heard and counted when it came to making decisions like where do we go to dinner and where do we go on vacation and what time should my bedtime be. And so today's parents refer to, they use the word cooperation more than they use the word obedience. And I will dare say that I talk to more parents about child-rearing issues on a yearly basis than any other person in the United States, and it's been that way for probably 30 years. And what I point out to them is that, no, you want obedience. And you want obedience not for your sake, but for your child's sake. But let's examine the difference. Cooperation is something that is possible between two peers who respect one another. You are not a peer to your child. Your child needs you in his life to be a superior being. That is essential to his sense of security, to his sense of well-being, that you be the superior in the relationship for his sake. And as proof of that, the impeccable research done by Diana Bomrand at the University of California, Berkeley, has without equivocation proven that the happiest children are also the most obedient and vice versa. And when I say to my audiences, you have never known a disobedient child who acted like he was truly a happy camper, there's this immediate jolt of recognition. And I say, there are conveniences that come to the parent, that accrue to the parent as a result of having an obedient child, but in the final analysis, this is all about your child. This is all about your child's psychological well-being and his ability to not only be a happy person, but ultimately to have compassion for other human beings.
I'm telling you, listening to you is like, you know, drinking some fine wine. And I'm not even a lover of wine, but I
well, Dennis, the feeling is mutual.
Well, that's very kind of you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. But it really is, and I'm sitting here somewhat pained on two grounds. One is that so many, the vast majority of children in America have not been raised the way you're speaking, and the other is that not everybody hears you. Needless to say, you are widely heard. But I want everybody to hear what you're saying. This just to isolate one thing you just said, show me a happy, disobedient child. That is so powerful. When you said there was a jolt of recognition in an audience of therapists, that's what parents need to understand. Even if they're just out for a happy child, disobedience is the royal road to unhappiness.
Mm-hmm. You were talking earlier about politics, and I was talking earlier about legitimization of the emotional state of the child, the psychological drumbeat to the effect that your child's emotions contain meaning, and you need to significant meaning, and parents need to understand this meaning and need to respond appropriately to this meaning. This is why this emphasis on the legitimacy of children's feelings, this, in my estimation, is significant, Dennis, to an understanding of what is going on America's college campuses today, that these are kids who cannot think straight because they have never been, their emotions have never, their parents did not teach them to restrain their emotions. You and I grew up during a time when our parents taught us to restrain our emotions. And the Bible says that emotions are potentially evil. And this is what's happening in America today. And this is...
I think it's actually the root of it. It's feeling. Yeah. It's feelings-based versus mind-based. The war, the culture war, or what I call the civil war, is that's one way of putting it. Our feelings paramount. That's everything. It's everything. John Rosemond is my guest. When my older son was two, a kid who was five threw him down in the park, just walked over and threw him down. His mother ran over to him. It was an act of utter, total malice. And the mother ran over to him and said, "What's troubling you?" That's it in a nutshell. John Rosemond, my guest. Final segment coming up on the Dennis Prager Show. Hello, everybody. Dennis Prager here. I could talk to George Rosemond. I really do. I believe it. I wonder what the Guinness Book of Records longest dialogue would include every so often a break for the men's room, but not allowing sleep. I think you and I might be able to qualify there. I could talk to you for that long. But my friends, please understand the root of politics is psychology. The raising of a generation, because I saw it in my generation. I was raised with an authoritarian father. He was definitely too authoritarian. However, I turned out good. And I mean morally good. I'm a good man, all right? I'm not bragging. I'm stating a fact. It's like I'm tall. I mean, they're just facts about me. One could differ with me. I treat people well. I care about the other human being. I'm empathetic. A character counts more to me than anything else in life. And the fact that I had a father who was an authoritarian, this is right, this is wrong, even though sometimes he was wrong in what he said was right and wrong, didn't matter. And I had guardrails, which kids need more than love, in my opinion. I don't want to put any words in your mouth, but this is why what your work is so important, and you folks should see his videos and read his books, the videos of PragerU and his books, of course, how to get kids to listen and others that he has done. Let me just summarize a few thing here. Okay. Oh, God, I would love, I wonder if, oh, see, this is the killer. Here's a guy who disagrees. I'm an educator. I totally disagree with Rosemond. Must use authority versus coercion. Well, all right, Marv, let's see. Marv, you got 30 seconds. I feel bad, but I want to give you a chance.
The entire approach is to raise responsible kids, and coercion does not work with them. There's a thing called counterwill. With today's generation, when you try to force anything, what happens is the kids immediately rebel. The idea, for example, instead of saying no, you say not yet. You collaborate with kids. You are always in authority, but doing it without coercion.
Well, how do you have authority without coercion? That's a philosophical riddle I'll have to try to figure out. Anyway, Bob, Cheryl, Marv, I did that. Mike, Jamie, Lisa, I wish I could have had you on. John Rosemond, may you live till 120 and a day.
Dennis, likewise. I hope we both do that. And thanks again for honoring me by inviting me on your show. And look forward to seeing you again.
Yes, indeed. And it is totally my honor. We'll be back. I'm Dennis Prager. Hi, Dennis Prager here again with a message for anyone struggling with pain. Of course, I want you to know about Relief Factor, the 100% drug-free supplement that tens of thousands are now taking every day. I take it every day. I like being out of pain. But I know you may be skeptical. I certainly was. Then I kept hearing about all the people, including my wife, who were no longer in pain. So I decided to give it a try. In fact, listen to Alan's story.
I've been in back pain since my early 20s. Now I'm 51. In my early 20s, I worked for the state prison. I got injured and I was off work for about a year. I'm now a trained engineer. I basically sit all day long. My wife making me take Relief Factor literally changed my life. I don't feel like I'm 20 again, but my back does.
Everyone knows you want something drug-free. You want something that will help your own body deal with the inflammation that can often cause pain in your neck, back, shoulder, hip, knee, or foot. Actually, even general aches and pains from just getting older, exercise, everyday living, all can be a real problem, even keeping you from sleeping through the night. So here's what I suggest you do. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of Relief Factor, have created what they call a three-week quick start. It's a trial pack, and they've discounted it to just $19.95. That's about a dollar a day, and after that, about the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. That's a three-week quick start for just $19.95, and you should know this. About 70% of the people who order the three-week quick start for just $19.95 go on to order more. So do what so many others have already done. Take Pete and Seth Talbot up on their offer and go to relieffactor.com and order the three-week quick start. That's relieffactor.com or call 800-500-8384, 800-500-8384.